الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we had read that which the author he clarified رحمه الله تعالى about the severity of the disbelief and the severity of the paganism of the later generations over the earlier generations, and we have seen how that occurred. We have seen how that occurred from more than one aspect. So up until this point, we have seen the clear resemblance between the paganism and polytheism and associating partners in worship of the early generations of disbelievers in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in relation to the actions of some of those who ascribe to al-Islam, yet they fall into the exact same belief and the exact same deed, and they perform the exact same actions for the exact same reasons, and for this reason they take the exact same ruling. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is a warning from that, and to clarification of that, and a believer, he should be aware of that and know about this with certainty in order to avoid it and to be safe from the likes of that. So, in our previous class, after establishing this resemblance and this clarification that they're upon the exact same way, he also clarified that rather those of today, they are more staunch in their paganism and their shirk. And the shirk is even more deeply rooted in their hearts. So this is the issue that we have come to thus far. Now, even after this, after that is established, this comparison between the two parties, between the early generation of mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically those whom the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought them, and they fought him alaihi salatu wasalam, and the later generation, those who ascribe to al-Islam, we've seen that relationship. Now they still have a doubt after that. They still have a doubt after that, even if they realize and they see this resemblance, and you clarify the two actions and they recognize that, now they still have another doubt and misconception that they will refuse to accept the ruling that is placed. So before, the debate was about the resemblance between the two parties. After that's established, that their shirk is their shirk, and their creed is their creed, and their deeds are their deeds, and their reasons are their reasons, and that it's the same. Now they're debating after that about the ruling. Even if that may be the same or seem similar in that manner, the ruling does not apply to us like it applies to them. The ruling does not apply to us like it applies to them, and they mention their proof. So the author, he says, رحمه الله تعالى, إذا تحققت أن الذين قاتلهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصح عقولا وأخف شركا من هؤلاء فاعلم أن لهؤلاء شبهة يريدونها على ما ذكرنا وهي من أعظم شبههم فأسقي سمعك لجوابها. The author, he says, رحمه الله, that if you have identified and realized in truth that those whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fought them, that their minds are more correct and that their shirk is lighter in comparison to these people, then you must know that these people here, they have another doubt. They have another doubt that they present to that which we have mentioned. I want to make sure everybody is on the same page. What the author, he's saying now, is referring to what has preceded. إِذَا تَحَقَّقْتَ. And now you have actually realized within truth أَنَّ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, that those who the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, he fought them صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, they are أَصَحُّ أُقُولًا وَأَخَفُ شِرْكٍ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ, their intellects are more sound. Their intellects, the intellects of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahib and Ubay ibn Khalif, any of the leaders of disbelief in those days, أقولهم أصح وشركهم أخف. Their minds, their intellects are more correct and sound than even these people in these days, in the days of the author, and they remain until our days. And their shirk is not getting lighter. It's not getting lighter. And their shirk, the shirk of those early generations, is lighter than the shirk of these people in these days. Who can explain this to me? How are their minds better? Nam. Relax. This is good. Anybody have something else to add? Ahsanta. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Anything else? Ahsanta. So that means that those people, although both parties are in shirk, both parties are corrupt and their minds are corrupt, but one of them is better than the other. One of them is their action is lighter than the other. One of them, their minds are sounder than the other. This is what he's telling us. So those early generations, their minds were more sound and correct than the later generations. And this is because what is established in the book and in the sunnah, in clear verses and very authentic narrations, that those people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although they made shirk, they only did that whenever times were going good. They only did that in good times, whenever it's easy, whenever there's relaxation, whenever there's prosperity, whenever there's safety, whenever there's security. But whenever there's fear, whenever there are trials, whenever they're afraid for their life, they forget their gods. Their gods vanish from their minds, from their hearts, and they call on none except for Allah. They call on none except for Allah. So at least at this time, in a state of necessity, their fitrah comes alive. Their fitrah comes alive and they call on Allah alone. And this is because also they realize the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. They realize the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they know that Allah, He is the creator and the provider and the sustainer and the one who has the ultimate authority. And they know with certainty that no one can save them at this time except for Allah. They know that. They know that. So the people in the later generations, their minds are so corrupted that even they call on their objects of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal, even in hard times. Even whenever they're afraid for their life, their hearts go to the Wali. Their hearts go to Jailani. Their hearts go to Tijani. Their hearts go to Dusuqi. Their hearts go to Rifa'i. Their hearts go to Bedouin. Their hearts go to someone besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Even in bad times. So that means that their minds are even more corrupt and their fitrah is even more tainted. It does not even come to life, not even in a time of necessity. And this is also the aspect of how the shirk is lighter. How the shirk of the early generations is lighter, because they only make it in one aspect of their life, not in another. As for the later generations, that they make shirk all the time. فَشِرْكُهُمْ دَائِمْ فِي الرَّخَاءِ وَشِدَّةِ وَأَمَّا مُشْرِكُ زَمَانِنَا فَشِرْكُهُمْ دَائِمْ فِي الرَّخَاءِ وَشِدَّةِ As for the mushrikun of his days, and then likewise of our days, and in those who ascribe to al-Islam, their shirk is continuous in the good times and in the bad times. Also, the shirk of the later generations is in the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some of them until this day, they say that the wali has the ability to create the child in the womb of the woman. They say this. You can read this in their books, or you can hear this from some of their mashaykhs. Some of them, they have this creed. They claim, أَنَّ الْوَلِي يَقْدِرْ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ الْجَنِينَ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ That the wali has the ability to create the child in the womb of the woman. There's only one thing stopping him, and that is يَخَافُ الْإِقْتِرَاطِ اِقْتِرَاطِ الْأَنْسَابِ But he does not do that because he's afraid of the lineages getting messed up. He's afraid of the lineages getting messed up. And this is what they claim. And they have what are known as al-abdal and al-aqtab, in the pivotal points. And they believe that there are seven, or sometimes they say six, or more or less. There are individuals who are from the awliya, and they are in charge of the universe. They are in charge of the universe. And the likes like this, they have these false creeds of folklore and misguidance and deviation that even Abu Jahl did not believe in. They did not believe that their idols, that Lat and Uzza and the likes like this, created anything. They know that Allah, He creates the creation and the likes like this. So their shirk is even more severe. Their shirk in the later generation is even more severe, and their minds are even more corrupt and foul. The Shaykh is saying, along with that, now that you realize this, and the one who reads the likes of these verses and he's sincere, he cannot reject this. He cannot reject this point. This is something that is established in the book, clearly. Alhamdulillah. But even after that, they have another doubt that they list, that they present. He says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ لِهَٰؤُلَاءِ شُبْهَةٌ يُرِيدُونَهَا عَلَىٰ مَا ذَكَرْنَا. But you must know that now these people, they have another doubt that they present about that which we have mentioned, about this affair here. وَهِيَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ شُبَهِهِمْ. And it's from the greatest of their doubts. It's from the greatest of their doubts. If we remember the very first three doubts that the author, he mentioned, what did he say about them? وَهِيَ أَعْظَمُ شُبَهِهِمْ. And these are the greatest of their doubts. Those first three doubts that they have, this was with regards to the resemblance. The resemblance. And this is with regards to clarifying that what they're doing is exactly what they were doing. And then what these later generations are doing is the exact same thing in reality as what the early generations were doing from Mushrikun. And that's what their doubts were with regards to that. Now that we finished that, now they have another doubt that is also from their greatest doubts. And it's not with regards to the resemblance of creed and action. Indeed, rather it's with regards to the application of the ruling. The application of the ruling. Because those people, when we see them calling on that, and they say, oh no, we're only calling on them to draw us near to Allah. What do we say? That does not benefit you. Rather, that is called shirk. And you, by doing that, are mushrikun. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought them and removed them from the lands. So that's shirk. So they're doing the same thing. They say, no, we're not doing that. But you can't apply that ruling to us. هُنَكَ مَانِعٌ يَمْنَعَ نُزُولُ الْحُكُمْ عَلَيْنَا. There's something prohibiting that ruling to apply to us. This is what they're saying now. So he says, وَهِيَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ شُبَهِهِمْ فَأَسْغِ سَمْعَكَ لِجَوَابِهَا. It's from their greatest doubts. So listen attentively to the response. The author, he's going to respond in a number of responses. رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى. He says, وَهِيَ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ. And it is that they say, this is their doubt, إن الذين نزل فيهم القرآن لا يشهدون أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله ويكذبون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وينكرون البعث ويكذبون القرآن ويجعلونه سحرا ونحن نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله ونصدق القرآن ونؤمن بالبعث ونصلي ونصوم فكيف تجعلوننا مثل أولئك. فَكَيْفَ تَجَعَلُونَنَا مِثْلَ أُولَئِكَ. So this is their doubt now that they say that those whom the Qur'an was revealed with regards to, and those whom the Qur'an was revealed with regards to in their time, they do not testify to La ilaha illallah. And they do not testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they belie the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they deny the resurrection. And they belie the Qur'an, and they consider it to be magic. And this is what they do. The people in Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Ubay ibn Khalif and the rest of the Kufar of Quraysh, what did they do? They belied the Qur'an. They claimed the Qur'an was magic. And they refused to say La ilaha illallah. Why? Why did they refuse to say La ilaha illallah? Because they know what it means. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَا إِلَّهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Is he trying to make the objects of worship all one? This is something amazing. So they knew what it meant. That's why they refused to say it. And that's why they fought. So they knew what it meant. This is what prohibited them from saying it, because they were not ready to comply to that. They loved the way of their forefathers, and they loved their idols, and they fought to death for that love. Even though they knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was honest and truthful, was honest and truthful. So the point is, this is their doubt. They say that those pagans, those disbelievers in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the revelation of the Quran was revealed about specifically, they did not testify la ilaha illallah. They did not testify Muhammad Rasulullah. Rather, they belied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said he's not a messenger, and that they disbelieved in the ba'ath, in the resurrection. And some of them, they disbelieved in that. Although some of them, even in the Mushrikun, they had the creed of the resurrection. There were some who disbelieved in the resurrection, and they disbelieved in the Quran, and they considered it to be magic. And as for us, وَنَحْنُ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ. But us, we bear witness. We bear witness to لا إله إلا الله and to Muhammad رسول الله. وَنُصَدِّقُ الْقُرْآنَ, and we believe in the Quran. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْبَعْثِ, and we believe in the resurrection. وَنُصَلِّ وَنَسُومُ, and we pray the five daily prayers, and we fast. فَكَيْفَ تَجْعَلُونَنَا مِثْلَ أُولَئِكَ. So how are you going to make us like them? How are you going to make us like them? It's a doubt. Shubha, you understand? You understand? What do you think about this? Huh? Huh? Uh-huh. Yes, ahsanta, mashallah. Istithara al-athifa. Istithara al-athifa. They're trying to rile up the emotions. We pray with you, we fast, Ramadan comes, we're fasting with you, we say la ilaha illallah, we give charity, we make hajj, we say Muhammad Rasulullah, we love the Prophet Muhammad, like trying to, then you're going to, oh yeah, that's okay, khalas, you're not making shirk, it's all good. Like this, trying to rile up the emotions. This is also from the ways of the people of falsehood, to rile up the emotions. And from the people of falsehood, this is from their methodology, to rile up the emotions. Because when the emotions become riled up, the mind does not think correctly. You understand that? The mind, whenever a person, his emotions get riled up, either with anger or with love, and the likes like this, then he's not able to think correctly. And the one who does not think correctly, he cannot make the proper judgments. He cannot make the proper judgments. So this is why we find, even until this day, the likes of these people doing the likes of this. And others, on the other hand, on another extreme, like the Khawarij, they try to rile up the hearts of the believers against the rulers and the likes like this, so that they display these ills, or these so-called ills and the likes like this, to rile up their emotions, so that they will throw those clear narrations behind their back and move upon their whims and desires and fall into their traps and the likes. So this is a foul way, riling up the emotions. A believer, a true believer, he checks his emotions, and he checks his emotions with the reins of the legislation, and he follows the legislation and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not his emotions and desires, and not his emotions and desires. Alhamdulillah. Ahsanta, barakallahu fiik. What else do we say here? And it's a strong doubt. It's a strong doubt. There must be a strong response. This is a strong, like he said, this is a strong doubt. And you're trying to say that we're like Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, he didn't even believe in the Prophet. We believe in the Prophet. So Abu Jahl, he didn't even believe in the Quran. He said the Quran was magic. He called the Prophet a liar. He called the Prophet a magician. He called the Prophet a soothsayer. He called him a fortune teller. He said he's a madman. He said he's crazy. He tried to fight him. We're not trying to fight him. We're not trying to fight him. We love him. What do you mean? How are you going to make us like him? Abu Jahl didn't pray. We pray five times a day. What are you talking about? We're making the adhan out loud. We got big masajid. Are you crazy? How are you trying to make us like them? You trying to make us like them?
Uh-huh. Ahsant.
They're ahsanta. Ahsanta hadha huwa. Barakallahu fiik. So they're saying here that the disbelievers, what did they do? They belied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They disbelieve in the Quran. They disbelieve in the resurrection. They denied the rights of al-Islam. They didn't pray. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. So they're mentioning all of these things that they do from disbelief, and then they're mentioning these things that they do from faith. The issue here is that at Iman, there are certain qualities, khisal at Iman, لَا بُدَّ مِنْ اِجْتِمَاعِهَا لِيَكُونَ مُؤْمِنًا. ليكون يعني اجتماعها في الإنسان ليكون مؤمن. There's traits that there's a fundamental traits of al-iman, of faith, they all must be gathered in one person to be considered a believer. There's a certain amount of iman, there's a certain amount of qualities that must be gathered, all of them together in one person before he's considered a Muslim. Before he's considered a Muslim. So, خصال الإيمان لا بد من اجتماعها. الخصال التي يثبت به الإسلام. The خصال, the traits of faith that a person's Islam is established by way of. يعني there's a minimum requirement for of faith, of iman, for a person to be considered a Muslim. All those traits, all those characteristics, all those creeds and actions, they must be gathered together before a person is considered a believer, a Muslim. You understand that? As for kufr, then it's not the same. Kufr, doesn't all of the attributes of kufr do not have to be gathered in one person before he's a disbeliever. Rather, if one of them is found in him, he'll be considered a disbeliever. If one of them is found in him, he'll be considered a disbeliever. This is the point that we want to make here, and the author, he's going to move from this. We understand that? This is the point that we want to make here, and the author, he's going to move from this. So if a person, he brought all of the traits of faith, and then he brought one trait of kufr, major kufr, he's a disbeliever. He said, even if he brought all of these things, his manners, his etiquette, his prayer, his dua, all, but then he brought this one thing from disbelief, he would disbelieve. He would disbelieve. Or if he brought some of the traits of faith, al-lazima, the obligatory requirements of faith, if he brought some of them and not all of them, he would be out of Islam. He would not be a believer. You understand? So خصال الإيمان التي يثبت به الإسلام لابد من اجتماعها. لابد من اجتماعها. So the traits of faith that a person's Islam is established by way of, they must all be gathered together in a person before we will rule for him that he's a Muslim from our brothers. And as for disbelief, it's not a requirement that a person, for example, before we rule against him, disbelief. He has to disbelieve in the Quran. He has to call the Prophet a magician. He has to disbelieve in the day of resurrection. You don't have to gather all these different aspects of disbelief before the ruling is applied to him. Rather, it's sufficient that one of them will be in his right. One of them will be in his right, that the ruling of disbelief will be applied against him. That the ruling of shirk will be applied against him. That the ruling of takfir will be applied to him. Will be applied to him. Understand that? This is the issue here. This is the issue. So he says, فَلْجَوَابَ فَلْجَوَابَ. This is number one. And he's going to actually mention a number of responses. فَلْجَوَابَ. This is number one. فَلْجَوَابَ. So the response, أَنَّهُ لَا خِلَافَ بَيْنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ كُلِّهِمْ أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ إِذَا صَدَّقَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي شَيْءٍ وَكَذَّبَهُ فِي شَيْءٍ أَنَّهُ كَافِرٍ لَمْ يَدْخُلْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. He says there's no difference of opinion between the scholars, all of them. And our scholars and your scholars. All of them, all of the ulama. And this is a great, great benefit here of realizing the importance of al-ijma'. Realizing the importance of al-ijma'. There are affairs in the religion that the people of knowledge from the days of old until this day, they have consensus with regards to. No one would deny it. Not even the most deviant. They will not deny them. And if they deny them, their deviation has become very clear. Because the Quran, hamalatul awju. Al-Quran, it has different aspects. You can translate it, you can interpret it many different meanings. So they can make ta'wil and go around the rulings and slide away where it's difficult to apply disbelief to them or the likes like this, because now they have ta'wil, now they have misunderstanding, they have misinterpretation. So we have to excuse them for that. We have to excuse them for that or their deviation, or work with them in a different manner in order to rectify the affair or establish the proof against them. And the sunnah likewise, similar, they can reject it in different ways that they have. They had different manners to deny the sunnah or reject it, which is a foul way. But the consensus that this is something that they will not deny. This is something that they cannot deny. With the hadith, they can say, oh, this is a weak hadith. Or they can say it's an abrogated hadith. Or they can say this, or they can say that. As for the consensus, it's something established. The scholars, they already agreed that this affair is established. So based upon this understanding now, the author is going to refute them. The author is going to refute them. We know about the consensus, right? The ijma'. Just recently in our kitab, in the book of Psalm, we talked about it in Jama'ah. What was that? Huh? We talked about the Ijma' and we talked about Kufr. We talked about Kufr and the Ijma' with regards to fasting. The one who denies the obligation of fasting. Even if he fasted, he's a kafir. Why? Because the obligation of fasting, the month of Ramadan, is an established obligation, that there is a consensus that it's an obligation, to the extent that anyone who denied that obligation, he would disbelieve. You understand this? This is what we're going to be discussing now, the likes of this point here. Alhamdulillah. So he says, Rahimahullah, there's no difference of opinion between the scholars that a man, if he were to believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about one aspect, and to disbelieve in him in another aspect, then he will be a disbeliever and not enter into Al-Islam. For example, someone, he come today and he wants to be a Muslim, and he's ready to take the Shahada, and he says that he believes that in La ilaha illallah, and he believes in Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we tell him next month is Ramadan, he said, "You're going to have to fast." He said, No, I don't have to fast. He says, I don't have to fast. If I want to fast, I can fast. It's not an obligation upon me. Maybe on you, it's not, but not me. Would he enter into Islam? No, he will not enter into Islam. No, this person, he'll be taught. And if he continued upon that way, he's not considered our brother. Even if he bears witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, even if he bears witness that the Quran is the truth, even if he says praying is good and I believe it's an obligation, even my charity is an obligation, but that fasting, no, it's not an obligation upon me. He would disbelieve. So this is the case here. If a person, he said, yes, I believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe in the Quran, and I believe in the rights of Islam and the pillars of Islam, they're obligatory, but some of these stories in the Quran, I don't think they're real. I think they're just stories that are made up to make admonition. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the birds, I don't know about that. If he said, waliyadhu billah, if he said something like this, he believed in everything, but this part right here, he doubted in, or he denied. Will he be a Muslim? No, he will not be a Muslim. You understand this point? So if a person, he believes in something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with and disbelieves in another part, he will not be a Muslim. He will not be a Muslim until he believes in everything. And he confesses to all of the clear obligations. There are things in Islam that are clearly an obligation, and he must believe in that obligation. Whether he performs them or not, that's another issue. He must believe in the obligation of fasting. He must believe in the obligation of the five daily prayers. He must believe in the obligation of charity. He must believe in the obligation of the Hajj. Disbelieving in the obligation of one of these pillars is disbelief, even if he performed the pillar. Even if he performed the pillar. You understand that? This is called al-tizam, wal-istiqama al-deen, yani imanin, wa-itiqadin. You have to believe in these obligations. You have to believe that this is halal. You have to believe that this is haram. Then the acting upon that belief, that's another issue. But the belief itself will bring or will bring someone to Islam or take them out. Their belief with regards to these rights. So this is what he's saying here. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا آمَنَ بِبَعْضِ الْقُرْآنِ إِذَا آمَنَ بِبَعْضِ الْقُرْآنِ وَجَحَدَ بَعْضَهُ كَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبِ الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ أَقَرَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَجَحَدَ بِوَجُوبِ الزَّكَاةِ أَوَ قَرَّ بِهَذَا كُلِّهِ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبَ الصَّوْمِ وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا آمَنَ بِبَعْضِ الْقُرْآنِ وَجَحَدَ بَعْضَهُ. Just like, and like this, the one who believed in some of the Qur'an and he denied some of it. Like the example that we just mentioned. كَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبَ الصَّلَاةِ. Like the one who affirms the Tawheed. He affirms the Tawheed. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. But he denied the obligation of Salah. أَوْ أَقَرَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبَ الزَّكَاةِ. Or he affirmed the Tawheed and believed in the obligation of Salah, but he denied the obligation of the charity. But he denied the obligation of the charity. أَوْ أَقَرَّ بِهَذَا كُلِّهِ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبَ الصَّوْمِ. Or he affirmed all of that. And he affirmed the Tawheed of Allah, he affirmed the obligation of Salah, he affirmed the obligation of Zakat, but he denied the obligation of fasting. of fasting. أو أقر بهذا كله وجحد وجوب الحج. Or even if he affirmed all of that, but then denied the obligation of the pilgrimage. And he affirmed the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, the obligation of salah, the obligation of the zakat, the obligation of the fast of Ramadan. He affirmed all of this, and then when it comes to the pillar of Hajj, he denied the obligation. He denied the obligation. There's no difference of opinion that these people here, they're disbelievers. He says La ilaha illallah. He says Muhammadur Rasulullah. He prays five times a day. Whenever his money comes, he gives his charity willfully, seeking the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. And when the month of Ramadan, comes, he fasts and he worships Allah. He stands in the night prayer. But he believes Hajj is not an obligation. None of that will be accepted from him. And there's a consensus from the scholars with regards to this. No one in their right mind in Al-Islam with knowledge would deny that. These are things that one, he must believe in order to be a Muslim. To believe that these are not obligations is disbelief. This is his point. So he says, وَلَمَّا لَمْ يَنْقَدْ أُنَاسٌ فِي زَمَنِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِلْحَجِّ أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي حَقِّهِمْ وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And whenever individuals did not comply, whenever people did not comply in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Hajj, yani al-inqiyad here means al-tizam bi-wujubi al-hajj, i'tiqad wujub al-hajj. Whenever they did not make al-inqiyad, lam yanqad unas, yani whenever they did not believe in the obligation of making the pilgrimage. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He revealed this verse in their right. And making the pilgrimage to the house is an obligation upon mankind for those who have the ability, and whoever disbelieves, then indeed Allah, He is free and in no need of anyone from the universe, and anyone from the world. And He is free and in no need of the Adameen. So this is mentioned here. The one who, and there's a consensus about this, the one who denied the obligation of the Hajj, and he says it's not an obligation, and if a person, it's a personal choice, shakhs, any ikhtiyaru shakhsi, a person, he has his own opinion and choice. If he wants to make Hajj, he can make Hajj. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. It's not an obligation. This is disbelief. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ السَّبِيلَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. It's been narrated by Ikrimah رحمه الله تعالى with an authentic chain by Sa'id ibn Mansur, and likewise al-Tabari رحمهم الله, that whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verse, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whenever Allah revealed the verse, and whoever seeks other than al-Islam as a way of life, then it will never be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he will be from the losers. There were some of the Yahud, some of the Jews, they said, نَحْنُ مُسْلِمُونَ. They said, نَحْنُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Some of the Jews, they said, no, we're Muslims. And we're from those who submit to Allah and follow the messengers and prophets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tried them with the obligation of Hajj, and they denied that. And this verse was revealed. So they claimed that they were Muslims, and then it was revealed, if you're Muslims, then follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and follow the obligation of making the pilgrimage to the house, and they denied that. So Allah, He revealed this verse, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ السَّبِيلَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. So Allah knows best. He's referring to this issue here. And no doubt Ikrimah, he's from the Tabi'een, Ikrimah Mawla ibn Abbas, and this is considered Mursal, and there's some weakness in that. But in any case, there's a consensus that if one were to deny the obligation of Hajj, then he would disbelieve. Even if he performed Hajj. Then the author, he says, وَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِهَذَا كُلِّهِ وَجَحَدِ الْبَعْثِ كَفَرَ بِالْإِجْمَعِ. And whoever affirmed all of that, he affirmed the tawheed, he affirmed the obligation of salah, he affirmed the obligation of zakat, he affirmed the obligation of fasting in the month of Ramadan, he affirmed the obligation of making the pilgrimage to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. He affirmed all of that, and then he denied the resurrection. Kafara bil ijma. Then he would disbelieve by consensus. than who disbelieve by consensus. So in order for the disbelief to be applied to a person, he doesn't have to gather all of the traits of disbelief. Rather, it suffices one of them. And if somebody can imagine, somebody, he's saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He's making the adhkar in the morning, making adhkar in the evening. When he gets in his car, he says, Bismillah. Whenever he's going through his day, before he eats, Bismillah, he's remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. He's giving charity. He's maybe giving charity to the masjid. He's doing this, he's doing that. He's doing all these deeds. He's praying the night prayer. He's fasting on Monday and Thursday. But he denied the obligation of Hajj. There's a consensus from the scholars, from the first generations until today, that he's a disbeliever. And a disbeliever, أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ. Their deeds are nothing, like ashes on a windy, stormy day. You understand that? Nothing will be accepted, even if all day long, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, that will not benefit him with this false creed. That he denied the obligation of Hajj. He fasts every year, but he denied the obligation of fasting. Or he denied the obligation of Salah. He prays five times a day, but he denied the obligation. He denied the obligation. None of his deeds will be accepted. He will be a disbeliever by consensus of the scholars. Or if he did all of these things and then he denied the resurrection. He denied the resurrection. Then he will not be a believer. He says, وَحَلَّ دَمُّهُ كَفَرَ بِالْإِجْمَاءِ. He will be considered a disbeliever by consensus. وَحَلَّ دَمُّهُ وَمَالُهُ. And his blood and his wealth will become permissible. Meaning this person now ruling, if he was taken to a Muslim court and a Muslim judge declared disbelief upon him, then his blood will be spilled. And his wealth will be lawful for the believers. For the believers. And not by lone individuals. We should not misunderstand these affairs. This is a judgment, what is intended by this. Yani that the courts will execute him. And his money will be divided and given to the Muslim government to distribute. And the likes like this. So this is the result of these beliefs. One of these beliefs. And there's a consensus about that. كما قال تعالى, just as Allah, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. This is just as Allah, he says in his book, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. Indeed, those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers, وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ, and they want to separate between Allah and His messengers. وَيَقُولُونَ, and they say, نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. They say we believe in some of them and we disbelieve in others. Who are they referring to? Who is he referring to, subhanah? The Jews and the Christians. Specifically, they say Allah is calling them disbelievers. Indeed, those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers, alayhim salatu wassalam, and they want to separate between Allah and His messengers. And they say we believe in some of them and disbelieve in others. We believe in some of them and disbelieve in others. We believe in Moses, we don't believe in Jesus. That's what they claim, the Jews. We believe in Jesus, but we don't believe in Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what the Christians claim. Allah, He called them disbelievers. They disbelieve in Allah and His messengers. And because they want to separate between Allah and His messengers. They want to differ. This prophet, yes, I like him. This prophet, no. They say they don't like him. Or they don't believe in him. So Allah, He called them disbelievers. Even if he believed in Moses, but he didn't believe in another prophet, he disbelieved. You understand? كَذَبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُسْتَدِينَ. The people of Nuh, they denied the messengers. How could the people of Nuh deny the messengers? Whenever the messengers didn't even come yet. Because denying one of them is denying all of them. So it's not required to be considered denying the messengers that you deny all of them. No, there's no messengers whatsoever. Rather, denying one of them is sufficient. This is the point the author is making here in this first response. That the attributes of disbelief do not have to be gathered in one person before the ruling of disbelief is applied to him. Rather, if he fell into one aspect of disbelief, major disbelief, upon knowledge, upon clarity, upon proof and evidence, then he would disbelieve in that manner. Then the ruling will be applied to him. Then the ruling will be apply to him. So Allah, He says, وَيُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ السَّبِيلَ. And they want to take away between that. Yani they don't want to believe in all of them, and they don't want to deny all of them. Rather, they want to pick and choose and take a moderate path in their minds and believe in some of them and leave off or reject others. Allah, He said about them, those who do this, who believe in some and disbelieve in others, and they take a middle course like this, so they claim, أُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These people, they are the true disbelievers. They are disbelievers in truth. أُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These people here, they are حَقًّا. They are true disbelievers. Why? Because they believe in some and disbelieve in others. So it's not a condition to disbelieve in all of them before disbelief is applied. Rather, Allah, He declared them to be disbelievers while they believed in some and disbelieve in others. وَعَتَدَنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. And we have prepared for those for the disbelievers a disgracing punishment. A disgracing punishment. So he says, Rahimahullah, فَإِذَا كَانَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَدْ صَرَّحَ فِي كِتَابِهِ أَنَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِبَعْضٍ وَكَفَرَ بِبَعْضٍ فَهُوَ كَافِرْ حَقًّا زَالَتْ هَذِهِ الشُّبْهَا. So if Allah, the Most High, He has clearly mentioned in His book that whoever believes in some and disbelieves in the others, then he is a true disbeliever. Then he's a disbeliever in truth, and a real disbeliever. And meaning this is not minor disbelief. He's a true disbeliever, a real disbeliever. For what kafirun haqqan, now this doubt has been removed. Now this doubt has been removed. What is the doubt? What is the doubt? You can't call us mushrikun. You can't call us disbelievers. We say La ilaha illallah. We say Muhammad Rasulullah. We pray five times a day. We give charity. We fast. We make hajj. We do this. We do that. All these righteous and good deeds, we do them. How are you going to say that we're disbelievers? How are you going to compare us to them? How are you going to compare us to them? You understand? So what do we tell them? You pray, just like the one who prays, they believe that the one who says the shahada, khalas. Basically, what they're trying to say, what they want to say, is that whoever says the shahada, he can never disbelieve after that. He can never disbelieve. Anybody who says the shahada will prohibit him from disbelief. You can never rule against him for disbelief, because we say the shahada. If you say the shahada and you pray and you do the outward aspects of Islam and you fast, then you can't apply disbelief to us. That's what they're saying. We're not. You can't apply that to them. But they have, and this is the way of the people of falsehood. This is the way of the people of falsehood, that they always fall into naqab. They always fall into contradictions. And from that is that they themselves, they declare disbelief on people who take the shahada. From them, the Wahhabiyya. It's written in their books. They themselves, the people who clarify this for them, they make takfir of them. It's written in some of their books. Even up until this day, there's individuals from those staunch grave worshippers and the staunch Sufis and the likes like this, where they declare the Wahhabiyya, the people they call to be Wahhabiyya, they declare them to be disbelievers, and they say they're min akfar al-nas, and that their disbelief is min ashad al-kufr. And the likes of this is how they describe them. This is how they describe them. And then likewise, the author, he's going to mention as well, and more points likewise, that there's a consensus about these affairs, that the one who fell into actions of riddah, like the scholars of fiqh, they have in the books of fiqh, kitab al-riddah, the book of apostation, and reasons for apostating, and how apostating occurs, and the likes like this, and there's agreement about the issues of apostation and how they occur. So this is the apostation is applied to someone who says La ilaha illallah. So they're not even truthful in their claim, and they're following their desires. And they don't implement what they're trying to say in every aspect. Rather, they're just trying to run from this clear evidence. And there is nowhere to run. Allah, He says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So if somebody were to deny the obligation of salat, and he would disbelieve, then how about if somebody denied the obligation of tawheed? Huh? Subhanallah. Subhanallah, he denied the obligation of tawheed, the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, the sole right of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he would disbelieve. So this is the point here. Now this is like the laying the foundation for the clarifications that will come, all related to this one. But if we understand this point here, the rest of these clarifications will be very easy. That in order for the disbelief to be applied to a person, he doesn't have to gather all of the attributes of disbelief. Rather, only one aspect is sufficient to take him out of Islam, or to be considered a disbeliever, or to be considered a disbeliever, or to prohibit him from entering into the fold of Islam. Somebody who wants to enter the fold of Islam, then he must accept all of the aspects of faith in order for his Islam to be affirmed, and avoid all of the aspects of disbelief that would invalidate his Islam. That would invalidate his Islam. And likewise, someone who is a Muslim already, he must maintain all of those traits that establish the base of al-Islam. And he must avoid every aspect of disbelief. If he were to fall into one aspect of disbelief, major disbelief, that would invalidate his religion. That would invalidate his religion. And this issue here is very clear. And it's very clear. Because if there were no invalidators about Islam, then what's the meaning of deen in the first place? What's the meaning of deen if there's no precepts and there's no articles and there's no pillars and foundations in order to be upon that deen? What's the meaning of deen? You can believe whatever, you can say whatever, you can do whatever, and you're still from the deen. It's all good. No, the deen, it means creed, it means belief, it means submission, it means humbleness, it means worship. You know, there's precepts, there's requirements that must be met. Minimum requirements to be from this deen. There's minimum requirements to be from this deen. Somebody who violated those requirements, he's not from the deen. In order to enter into the fold of Islam, there are minimum requirements a person has to believe and do. There are minimum requirements a person has to believe and do. These minimum requirements a person has to believe and do, they must be gathered in one person before he enters into the fold of Islam. If he loses one of these minimum requirements, he's out of the fold of Islam. You understand that? One of them. He doesn't have to lose all of them. Just one of them. These minimum requirements. Right? He believes in Allah, he believes in the last day, but he denied the angels. He denied the angels. Will he be a believer? No, not till he believes in all of them. So there's a minimum requirement that must all be gathered in a person to be a believer and to be in the fold of Islam. If he lost one of them or rejected one of them, this would take him out of the fold of Islam. We understand this point here. From here, the author is going to clarify more details with regards to this. There's approximately eight points that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, seven, eight points with regards to this particular doubt. I think that it's clear now from here and after this, everything else is just light upon light. Alhamdulillah. So the author, he says, وَهَذِهِ هِيَ أَلَتِي ذَكَرَهَا بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْأَحْسَى فِي كِتَابِهِ أَلَذِي أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا. And this doubt here is what some of the people of Al-Ahsa, they mentioned to us whenever they sent a letter to us. And even some of the author, he used to write letters and treaties to the people, spreading the da'wah and calling them to the tawheed and the likes like this. And some of them, they would write back to him. And they would write back to him with doubts and the likes. And this particular doubt here is something that some of the people of Al-Ahsa is close to Riyadh in that area up there, wrote to him in the area of Bureida and the likes like this. They wrote to him, and he mentioned that here, and that he clarified this doubt for that person and for the believers. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.